League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome. Ball Don't Lie, episode 172, if I'm not mistaken. I put 173 on the fucking, on the shit. So let me look at the artwork right now to make sure I got the, this is one episode, it's 172. Yeah, so yeah, I just labeled it wrong on the fucking StreamYard. But yeah, episode 172, Ball Don't Lie. If you're watching this, I am hosting this with the one and only T. Flannery.
I'm gonna say, if you follow me, I already told you, like, my eyes very fucked up right now. So like,
we got Southwest.
We do have video obligations. I said, no, yes. I can't do this. I look like fucking Forrest Whitaker when he was giving out the Black Panther juice. Like, no, I can't do that.
The street of the Black Panther. You know what's funny about Forrest Whitaker? He's a great actor, but that nigga talks hilarious.
Man, Forrest Whitaker, that nigga's like legit
great actor. But that nigga voice is hilarious. I don't know. Do you watch Godfather Hollow?
Yeah.
When that nigga be saying doozy, that should be having me fucking
the doozy. Give me the doozy.
He said, what's going on with the fucking guineas? What's up with the doozy?
That nigga's a legend, though, man.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Forrest Whitaker, man. But we here. Episode 172, man. Scott and Dante, you know to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershare Scott, at October Zone Tay. Follow the Barbers Chair Network at Barbers Chair Net. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barbers Chair Network. All three different tiers on there, man. We got a lot of stuff on there. We dropped like three pods last week on the Patreon. So check that out. We got another edition of Summer Sessions that will be dropping on Wednesday. You know, get ready to hear about Pavi's travels to Miami. This nigga's hilarious because he told me, I was convinced to go to Miami. I'm like, get the fuck out of here, convinced.
Miami's a beautiful place, so I'm sure.
I haven't been there.
It's quite, you never been to Miami, G?
I've never been to Miami. I've been everywhere else in Florida, but I haven't been to Miami.
You got to go to Miami. And like, you know, you really going to Miami, and niggas, when I say this, people going to realize it. You know, you really visited Miami when you don't go to South Beach. Like,
yeah, that's what, like, everybody said. That's what everybody said. No, but I want to visit South Beach.
You can go there once, but I'm like, no, nigga. Like, that was like, we did that in college when we was in spring break. I've been to South Beach so many times. I don't ever need to see fucking Ocean Avenue again, nigga.
It's like, South Beach, like Hollywood meets Venice Beach.
Yeah, I mean, it's worse than that because it's like, especially if you go during a spring break, like, it's nothing.
I would never do that.
It was ridiculous. Like, don't get me wrong. When we was 18, 19, that shit was cracking. But like, as an adult, fuck no. Like,
well, when I do go, I'm going to hit Mikey up. I'm going to hit my homie Mike up.
Oh, yeah.
Both of the mics. both the mics.
I'm really gonna need these shades when I hit Miami. Nigga.
definitely got to do that, man. They're gonna get me in good there, man. But yeah, man, we got a lot of stuff to talk about, man. Let's kick it off with Ja. What they call it onto a Ja Warrant? Like,
they said Ja Wick.
Ja Wick. Ja Wilkes Booth. I heard this, that man, one.
Bro, this man lost his damn mind.
Lost his damn mind. So unless you've been living under a fucking rock the last week, this dude, Ja Morant, is currently on a sabbatical from the Memphis Grizzlies. They basically told his ass to go home while we figure this shit out. AKA the league is gonna figure this shit out. Shams and Woj pretty much said this is pretty much a suspension that hasn't been called a suspension yet. And he has missed the last two games. Well, missed the last game. He's gonna miss tomorrow against the Lakers. Well, tonight against the Lakers. I want to appreciate, shout out to the Grizzlies for putting that out a day beforehand so I can save my Uber fare going down to Staples Center, because you thought I was going downtown to watch Kawhi Leonard versus Desmond Bane on a Sunday night. You got me fucked up.
The legendary Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, he didn't even play. That nigga was suspended. He was suspended. Steven Adams didn't play. It was fucking Jaren Jackson Jr. and Desmond Bane. So I was like, no. But he missed the Clipper game, and he's going to miss the Laker game. And now, not only is the league reviewing it, and I think Brian Windhorst said today, he said everybody's wondering, like, you know, when the investigation started. He said the investigation been starting for weeks. He said with the last incident, like the NBA just ain't finished it. So now you got this, and on top of that, you got the authorities coming into it now. Now Colorado police are investigating. Was he in Colorado with the gun? We don't know if he was in Colorado with the gun or was he in Los Angeles when he get it. My question, if he was in L.A., where the fuck was he at that they would allow him to have a gun in? First of all L.A. strip clubs are trash. So I don't think that was that.
First of all, why are you shirt off waving a gun in a strip club?
Yeah, like that was almost as concerning. Like, he was showing more titty than the women behind him.
It was a really interesting situation, bro. But like you said, like, you got all of these people investigating, and like, this is not what you want from the face of your franchise. And one thing I really want to speak about, and one thing we really got to address, is the fact there's been a lot of niggas like trying to make excuses for this man. Like in the beginning, I was like, kind of like, okay, you know, your homies are your homies. He still need to learn. He's, you know, slowly but surely weeding them out. I give him that. But when you start seeing in every instance, he's the problem. He's the one beating up 17-year-olds. Yeah. He's the one going to the mall. First of all, you have a Nike deal. Why is your mother at the mall? Like,
and that, foot that, action of all
why places. Why is your mother at Foot Action? Make a call. Tell him, hey, send me a box for my mother.
Send me like, a box. First of all, same day. I don't even think tell
he live in, no, no, he live in Memphis. The Nike factory in Memphis. Like, what the fuck? It's ass backwards, bro. And it's just like, you doing all of this, and like, it gets to a point where it's like, we have to stop making excuses and saying, like, well, you know, he's only 23. Like, no.
Oh, man.
No. Even with Jalen Rose, I felt everything Jalen Rose said, but just off the strength of Jalen, like, you was actually like from the gutter. Like, it's different. Like, it's a different story. Paul Pierce said that silly shit. Paul Pierce, nigga, you actually got stabbed. Like,
You lost your job for doing some stupid shit.
Not even that, bro. Because he made the comment like, I was carrying a gun after I got stabbed. Yeah, dummy, because you got stabbed. It wasn't because you just felt like doing it. Like, and you weren't like waving it around in a strip club. And first of all, I hate when people hold guns like this. Bro, what the fuck was like this? That really just irritates the shit out of me. There's no point in doing
a bag of weed or some shit,
bro. This shit was just dumb. And like at the end of the day, like I'm a gun owner, so like I'm not gonna sit here and say he shouldn't have a gun. If you want to have a gun, but doing shit like that, especially in the position that he's in, it's time out for the excuse. Like, the shit just silly. Even if you do that, why post it? Why post it on the internet?
Yeah, and that's the big thing. Like, okay, let's say you want to do that shit. Why you post on the internet? And it's like you said, there's multiple issues with this. Like, one, like with the mother thing. Like, there's two problems I have with that. One, like you said, your mother shouldn't be in fucking Foot Action. You got your signature shoe coming out this month. I'm pretty sure Nike has sent bags of merchandise ever since they swapped you, ever since they swapped Kyrie out for you. I'm pretty sure that, you know, they didn't gave you some swag bags or whatever, or you know, you got all of your new shoe that's coming out. I'm pretty sure she would have enough for her to not be a fucking Foot Action. Now, here's my other problem is actually with the mama. What mama calls her son like, yeah, we got problems up here. Bring your ass up here. Like, that's problem number two. And it kind of explains more why he's in this shit to begin with. But you got his, and like I said, I don't know these people personally. I'm pulling Stephen A. I don't know these people personally. I met T. Morant in the hallway at a Clipper game last year. Seemed like a cool guy to me. But like Stephen A. Smith said, that's your son, not your friend. You know what I'm saying? There needs to be a circle here where you're not only the leader of your family and your crew because you're the breadwinner, you are for the future. You can't be fucking the money up. Not only are you fucking your money up, I said this, so I'm not going to hold you. Not only are you fucking your money up, you fucking with the league's money. You fucking with Nike's money. And that's why Nike put out a press release. That's why they made Ja put out that press release. That's why Ja's socials are currently not up right now, because he got that call. And I said on my show, he needs to go speak to Allen Iverson. AI is the guy he needs to speak to. We all know about all the things that Allen Iverson went through in his career. If you guys are in your 30s or your late 20s, you remember the madness that, you know, AI was like, it was like a new headline every week. You know what I'm saying? And so I think he needs to talk to him. And this is not just me like kind of going in on. I'm a fan of Ja. I'm a fan of Ja. I think he's a bright guy, a bright superstar. I think he can be part of the crew that can help lead the league into the next era with LeBron and Steph and KD on their way out. But this ain't it, bro. This ain't it. And like what you said about people giving them pass, I'm going to get into my summer sessions real quick. And this is something that you tweeted. I don't know why I forgot to retweet the other day. Black folks looking at me, listen to me, man. Listen to me, my black people. We have got to stop giving passes for when niggas do stupid shit. Okay, like that's the shit that we got to stop doing. Like you said on your tweet, G, like, you know, black people sometimes number one problem is accountability.
We got to be honest, bro. And like, don't get me wrong. Like I always say, I want you to tell your Stephen A. shit. Like, don't get me wrong. You got racism. You got shit out. It's a ton of stuff on the list that is a problem for black folks. Yep. But in terms of things that we can actually change, we actually control, it's accountability. Yep. Like certain shit is just dumb, bro. Like, especially my thing with athletes, bro. We got years and years and years of examples of people who's thrown shit away and wasted their fucking careers. And it's like, why are you doing this? Like, why are you still doing this silly shit? And everybody say, well, you ain't never had that much money. And da, 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 da. I'm like, yeah, but bro, we've seen 40 other athletes who had the same opportunities who threw that shit away. And you've already got $200 million deal. You got your Nike signature
deal. His deal kicks in next year.
Like, bro, you're on the way, and you're going to get at least two more deals like that. Yeah. Like at least two more. And the TV contracts are getting bigger and bigger. So your contracts are only going to get better. So it's to the point where it's like, why do it? Like, I think, and you mentioned AI, but another person he could talk to is Melo. That interview Melo had where he said, David Stern called me and said, nigga, I know where you be at. I know where your homies be at. I know what y'all be doing. Cut that shit out. And yeah. Melo stopped. If you notice, Melo ain't never really been in trouble in his career. Like, mm-hmm.
And then after that little fight at the Garden,
but like, he was on Smack DVDs and not Smack. What was the other? The Stop Stitching DVDs.
It was Stop Stitching DVDs with the Home Depot T-shirt on. Yeah, know?
He used to be on shit like that. But even after that, he stopped doing all that. Like, yeah. At the end of the day, you working for a $1 billion corporation.
I mean, Stephen A said it too. Like, they got former CIA, FBI niggas working for the NBA. You know what I'm saying? Of course. Windhorst said he learned about the second. The 17-year-old beat up story from a Hall of Famer. So I won't name who it is from a Hall of Famer. He says, if I heard it from him, you know the NBA knew that a long time ago. So it's just shit like that where you gotta pay more attention to it, man. And honestly, I hate that this is gonna happen. I think they're gonna make an example out of him. I would not be shocked if we do not see Ja Morant play for the rest of this year, because if the police get into it. And he brought that gun on that plane. There's any evidence in bringing that? He is fucked.
And as a person who works for an airline, let me tell you, they do not go through security when they get on them planes. So that bus, if it drove right up to the plane, like it's very likely he could easily done it. So it's not something that would shock me at all. But it's more of a why? What do you need a gun in Colorado for, nigga? Like.
Colorado does have, you can carry, but we don't know if this nigga has a license. And even on top of that, it don't matter what the law is, you're on a fucking airplane. So not only is that a United States law, that's an NBA law. Yeah. So they said that, you know, whatever, it doesn't really matter what the Grizzlies think about it, because the NBA is still yet to make their decision. Yeah. And I think, and then we're going to leave it at this, because we can rant on this forever. I feel like I've been talking about Ja Morant for like 72 hours. But with Ja, if the gun was on a plane, we ain't seeing that nigga till like halfway through that next season. Like, I truly believe that, because they suspended Gilbert Arenas for a lot less. So I feel like the hammer is gonna come down.
Well, I won't say bringing the gun to the locker room was a lot less.
That was a lot.
He laid him out and said, "Pick one." That was a lot.
Let me rephrase that. What I mean is the airplane is what makes the OC.
Yeah, oh no, because absolutely.
Now you're getting into other shit that ain't that's even fair, got nothing
that's
to do with it. Yeah, right, exactly. So yeah, let me take that back. No, Gil was 100% wild. Crinton is still in prison, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, that's a whole different type of story. But I really believe that the league is going to make an example out of him, and obviously the team ain't fucking with it, because somebody leaked that Steven Adams team meeting story to Shams. Yeah. So. That to the team, I was like, man, fuck this nigga. I'm finna call Shams right now, tell him what the fuck happened.
Yeah, bro. I mean, I feel like it gets to a point where it's like, it's a lot, bro. This is really a lot. This is wild as hell. that we actually having these conversations. Don't get me wrong. And I know people always say, man, if cameras was around back in the day, fuck all the bullshit. Let's just be 100% real, bro. This is a lot, my nigga. For bro to be doing.
Like, niggas gotta stop acting like this is just some regular shit.
Yeah, this is not regular, bro. Like, especially when you've been getting called out about the actions and you've been doubling down. Like, when I knew the nigga was tripping, when he told that, was it, I don't know who it was, but he said, it's free to see how hollows feel. When
yeah, he tweeted that on Twitter. Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what are you, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, but like,
and everybody know John and I about that because you can hear the comments that are being made by current and former players like that nigga's not like that. You know what I'm saying? Like even that when Dame said, man, I don't give a fuck who was or who not from the trenches. That was, I mean, I ain't worried about this little nigga, man.
I mean, that'd be my thing. Like, it's like you could say what you want about different stereotypes and shit like that, and like, you know, but we all know people who the majority of people who really about shit like that are not letting you know they about that. Like,
exactly.
You gonna find out the hard way, nigga. You're not gonna just.
There's a lot of new niggas in the NBA right now. You know what I'm saying?
That's some younger generation shit. Like,
yeah, man.
Listening to Young Boy NBA, like, you know, just.
Oh, so what do you call him? NBA Dumb Boy. That was another good Ja name I saw on Twitter today, man. But Ja gotta get together, man. If everybody, like, what would you do at 23? I tell you what, I won't do at 23. Bring goddamn pistol on a plane.
I'm rich, boy. Like
nigga, like, don't get me wrong, I'd have done some dumb shit with my money because I was 23. I ain't bringing no gun on a fucking airplane, no, nigga.
First of all, ain't no 17-year-old playing pickup basketball in my house.
To fucking right. Begin with.
Boy, take your ass to the YMCA, nigga. Like, what? Get the fuck out of my backyard. What is going on?
Yeah, man. Like, exactly, bro. So there's gonna be all eyes on this situation this week, man. But let's get into some actual hoops. We are into a week of the Kevin Durant Phoenix Suns era. KD has played 3 games, all road games. He'll be making his home debut on I think Wednesday against the Oklahoma City Thunder. They played against Charlotte, they played against the Bulls, and they played against Dallas last night, which was a great game. KD has been amazing. In fact, him and Devin Booker have the third most combined points for a new duo in their first couple games. Of course, they're only behind Wilt Chamberlain, whatever random nigga he was running with. Take those Wilt Chamberlain stats as you will. But
fake news.
Like I said, there's video of niggas throwing a rock at Dr. King in Marquette Park in the 60s, but we ain't got no footage of this alleged 100 points.
Boy, we saw JFK's brain fall across the car. And you telling me I ain't got no footage of Will Chamberlain scoring these points?
Yeah, man.
No buckets. All I got is him holding a sheet of paper.
Look, I can hold that shit up right now outside my apartment. Like, yeah, nigga.
And not only that, nigga, Lisa Lely scored 100 points in a halftime at a high school game. I ain't trying to hit that shit.
Exactly.
Fuck out of here.
Exactly. But 3 games in, at 3-0, man. They are currently 4th seed in the Western Conference. They are a game and a half behind the Sacramento Kings, who are a game and a half behind the Grizzlies for the second seed, which has become super interesting now that we don't know when the next time Tupac Morant will be playing. So, you know, and I got to give a shout-out to the Kings, man. Them niggas been fighting. Like, everybody's like, them niggas don't fall on the standards. Nah, they like, no, fuck
shout
y'all.
Out
like,
shout out to Mike Brown. Shout out to Mike Brown, bro.
My coach of the year. Oh, that's definitely my coach of the year. I understand what Michael Malone is doing, you know, everything like that. But give it to my man, Mike Brown. I feel like one of the most underappreciated coaches of the last decade. But first week, man, they 3-0. They hooping. What's your first couple game thoughts about this team?
I mean, you know, we always overdo it when it comes to super teams. People love to say, oh, well, this is their flaw. They don't have this. They don't have that. As long as KD don't get another one of these fluke-ass injuries and, you know, Chris Paul hamstring stay on the bone, I think that, you know, the Phoenix Suns will be in it, being the Western Conference Finals or the NBA Finals. Like, I think everybody wants to say championship or bust, but we got to remember KD just signed that 4-year deal. So KD locked in, Book locked in. Yeah. So, I mean, it's really a matter of what you do with CP. And, you know, I think at this point, the new owner, with being aggressive and getting KD his first week on the job, he shows you, like, he's trying to win. So, just going from there, I think, you know, like I said, it's dope to see the offense is going to be ridiculous, like, all season. You know, I know Book is loving the fact that you – you have two of the most dynamic scorers in the league on the same team. Like, and like, you know, Kyrie gave you a different element, but with Book, like, you know, knockdown shooting, you know, his ability to get his own shot, you know what I'm saying, shooting traffic, and now it's less traffic because now you can't really collapse on Book because you got KD there. You still got DeAndre, you know what I'm saying? You still got Chris, you know. This is gonna be a tough team to beat. So I think, you know, this first week is just, you know, like you said, three road games, but it's really an example of what's to come with this team. And as long as they stay healthy, bro, they're gonna be running through motherfuckers.
Yeah, I don't know about running through. I still got a couple issues with them, but offensively, they look great. I think offensively, they look as how we all expected them to look. Kevin Durant makes offense look easier than anybody who's ever picked up a basketball. Like, it just looks like he doesn't break a sweat. Like, this nigga dropped 33 on Sunday with ease. Like, when he came through with the ball with, like, 10 seconds left, everybody in that building knew he was going to make that shot. Like, there wasn't a matter of if. It was a matter of, okay, how is Dallas going to respond after he makes this shot? To me, what was the question? So I feel like it looks good. Devin Booker looked great. My whole thing is this. I have two concerns. Actually, three concerns. One is DeAndre Ayton. Like, they have to find a way to keep him involved, to not forget about him. Like, he had a great game offensively. I mean, not offensive, but rebounding-wise. But they went a whole time where he was reactive in the first quarter. We didn't hear his name again until late in the fourth quarter. So I feel like, of course, it's early, only been three games. But I feel like the main goal over these next couple weeks leading into the playoffs, find a way to get DeAndre Ayton active in the offense. And I think that'd be something they need. But I'm also worried about the defense and just the depth of this team. You know, like, they had Wainwright come in. He made a couple clutch threes. I didn't know who the hell he was, but he had made a couple clutch threes. Is that something you can count on night after night in a playoff series? I'm not 100% sure with that. And that also goes to why we're both saying that this isn't a championship or bust thing for me. This is a long-term solution here with these two guys. Now, I'm not even sure that Chris Paul is going to be here next year. I do think they're going to find a way to get away. I mean, since he's not owed any more guaranteed money. But then next year you can actually fill this team out a little bit more. But for right now, I think as long as they stay healthy and KD and Book cook the way they are, yeah, they have a shot to be in the finals, in the conference finals. I just don't think it's going to be as easy because I still feel like there's other teams that can at least give them a run and might have a deeper squad or a better defensive team than them. And also, I feel like what we do with these quote-unquote super teams is everybody like, oh, they're in the finals. They're sleepwalking the finals. And the playoffs come, and it's like, nah, you still got to play basketball. So that's really what I want to see more.
Yeah, but, I mean, like I said, too many super teams don't add Kevin Durant. Like, the Brooklyn shit was a clusterfuck, I'll give you that. But last time, like we said, we saw what happened when he went to Golden State. I think Chris Paul – what's left over, what he's able to really, what he's still able to do out there, you know what I'm saying? That can be, you know, like I said, deadly come playoff time. And so I think, like you said, there'll be teams, you know, in today's NBA, everybody can score 100 points, 110, 120. But I think, like I said, when you have Kevin Durant, who is, in my opinion, the greatest offensive player we've ever seen, like with the ease at which he puts the ball in the bucket, you know, had he not, you know, going through his couple years of injury, his numbers would be on pace to be, you know, yeah, you know, next level. So, yeah, just based off what we've seen from him, like I said, D Book has continued to get better. No, I think, you know, when I say that, I agree with what you say about people always just jump the gun with these super teams. But I think adding Kevin Durant to your team is different than some of the other shit we've seen.
I agree with that. It's gonna be fun to watch. It's kind of my personal hell though, because like I'm rooting for KD, but that means I have to root for good things for Devin Booker and Chris Paul, which it doesn't really fit well with me.
Book.
I won't speak on this Booker shit because a lot of niggas got their feelings. My mentions yesterday. That nigga's a front runner. Okay, I don't give a fuck what none of y'all niggas are saying. They're like, he a front runner. He scored 36 points. I'm like, nigga, look up the definition of front runner. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like what Lucas said in the press conference. He said, I ain't no problem with him talking shit. Just don't talk shit at the end of the game. Like, talk shit the whole entire game. Like, don't talk shit when you're up. And that's why I said that Michael Jordan, it takes a good man to talk shit when you're down.
Yeah. Yeah, he said, don't, Lucas, you know, don't talk shit with 3 seconds left in the game. And that's real.
Exactly. And that's my whole thing with that. And it's like, well, I can say he's a front runner. So what? Just because he didn't talk shit in the playoffs, he can't talk shit? I'm like, no, this is a man who got in his feelings because niggas was doubling in a pickup game in the summer. You know,
yeah, that was like, Shout out to Joakim Noah, man.
Shout out to Joakim Noah. Like, you know, this is not just some shit I'm pulling out of my ass, but I got young NBA Twitter in their feelings. I've been getting a lot of niggas mad in my Twitter lately, but you know what I'm saying? Shout out to my my sports media therapist, Jared Bang, and my homegirl Shakia of Chicago Tribune. They have been helping me not cuss niggas out on Twitter. I blocked somebody yesterday. It was the first time in about a couple months. I'm not gonna lie, kind of felt good though. Kind of felt good. I feel like Ari Gold when he didn't know how to fire people anymore, and he fired somebody. He's like, that felt great.
Like, I mute motherfuckers all the time.
That's what I usually do. I usually don't block, but I had to do it yesterday. But speaking of the disaster in Brooklyn, little story coming out this game is there's maybe a wrinkle, a little strain in the Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving relationship. I did peep when I was watching the game that there was no real talking between them on the court. There wasn't a little corny handshake they do before the game. They didn't do that before. Wasn't really any love being shown between the two. Then Brian Windhorst comes out today on Get Up this morning and says, the only relationship Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving have right now is no relationship. He said they have said, and also KD said on his podcast, the et cetera's on the Boardroom, we haven't had a chance to speak about what happened in Brooklyn. And even when I watched interviews, I watched all 30 minutes of it, he did look like, you know, KD's cool, but he looked like he was irritated by the way Kyrie went about things this year. Kind of like with, you know, I've backed him up the entire time and now he pulls this shit again. And so basically Brian Windhorst said that not only have they not had the conversation, what he's hearing, they don't have no plans to have the conversation anytime soon. And also what kind of stood out to me, he dapped up Markieff Morris, and that was only his teammate for like a couple months. He's been with Kyrie for years.
Bro, I say this. Imagine we agree to do some shit and you fuck it all up. I don't want to be your friend no more, nigga. Get out of my face. Yeah. It's one of those things where it's really like you, KD vouched so much for Kyrie. Like, they went to Brooklyn, you know, when KD could have went to New York. He could have made other moves. He could have stayed in Golden State, even though he wouldn't have did that because he wanted the love. But he could have went so many other places, but he, you know, linked with Kyrie and said, okay, let's make this thing happen in Brooklyn. And every step of the way in Brooklyn, outside of KD getting hurt, every step of the way Kyrie was like really one of the major hindrances to them winning the championship.
Yeah.
So like, I'm like I said, we don't know these people. We don't know what's there, but based off the reporting and everything, that wouldn't surprise me at all. Like, why would I want to kick it with you? Like, why? We don't have to do none of that no more.
Yeah, I don't blame kids, especially when you vouch for somebody so much. You put yourself on the front line. And KD, man, I don't feel like, you know, I know talking here is like, KD got to be the blame for what happened in Brooklyn. I don't blame KD. I put the blame of what happened in Brooklyn on the feet of Kyrie Irving, like 100%. KD, if his shoe size was a half inch shorter, they were going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago. And he dragged them there with Harden and Kyrie getting hurt again. And if anything, I give James Harden credit. That nigga was a visionary for getting about it that early. He saw the jig a mile away. Like,
and he said, I don't look so crazy now, do I?
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So I got to give it to them. But this is just one of the many NBA. NBA is kind of like basketball wives. I think on my homegirl's tweet, the NBA is basketball wives for niggas. And I was like, it makes a lot of sense. We talking about shit off the court more than actually on the court. And to me, the on-the-court issue here is that I think that the Mavericks gave all that shit up for Kyrie, and I don't think that nigga's coming back from what I think. I could be wrong. I'm done guessing what Kyrie's going to do, but the problems that the Mavericks are having are probably pretty much the problems that everybody thought they was going to do. Niggas will score, but you can't stop nobody. Like, they played their best game on Sunday as a pair and still lost.
Yeah. It's gonna take a lot. It's, you know, like you said, like you, putting the ball in the bucket is very important these days. But at some point, it's not even like you have to be a dominant defensive team. You have to get timely stops. So it's a matter of if they can figure out how to do that. If Kid can coach them up and get them to the point, well, that's something that they can easily do. But for right now, like you said, that move, if you Dallas, bro, that was very, very shaky by Mark Cuban. Like, you're risking a lot. Like, that was pushing all your chips on the table, and you don't know what the other guy got. Like, I can understand if you know you got the winning hand, but Luka and Kyrie, as amazing as it is,
at the same time, I understand too, because it's like Nobody's coming to Dallas. Like, nobody came when Dirk was there. They're not coming now. So it's like, I get the desperation of why they did it, but you're also now dealing with the reality of why it was so dicey. Now, if Kyrie is strictly money and he just really wants his contract, then I think there's a greater chance of him going back to Dallas because they're able to pay him the most. I really don't think anybody's bringing up the Lakers thing because the Lakers and everybody wants to talk about the fucking Lakers. That's not really a real, unless he wants to take a dramatic pay cut, which he has given us no sign that he's going to do. The Laker thing is off the table once they traded Russell Westbrook because they don't get that money off the books.
Right.
And I think that's also why you're hearing about a possible D'Angelo Russell extension, because I don't think that's going
to
happen. But
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep their trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Let's move on to the Eastern Conference right now, man. The New York Knicks. The New York Knicks right now are on a tear. They have won 9 in a row right now. Big double overtime win in Boston the other night. They are a game behind Cleveland for the fourth seed. They're 39-27. They got a 19-15 record at home and a 20-12 record on the road. They've been looking good. Not only was that win against the Celtics just impressive, because it's their second time beating the Celtics in a week, and they have a 3-1 record against the Celtics this season. They won that one on the road with no Jalen Brunson. I said this on my show, and y'all know I don't have a problem with New York sports. I just have a lot of New York friends, and I love seeing them unhappy. So I'll be rooting against New York teams. But I got to give it to them, man. This Knicks team, I said last week on the pod, I think they are a really good team. I think this team can upset a Cleveland in the first round. Should I even think they can upset Philly in the first round? My question for you is, I said this on my show. I said this is the best New York Knicks team in 30 years. And Pavi almost stopped the damn recording. He couldn't believe what I said. Yeah. I don't think it's that asinine of a statement, because let's just not act like the Knicks have been littered with good teams over the last 30 years to fucking begin with. What do you think about this team? And is this the best team we've seen from the Knicks in a minute?
In a minute since the 90s, yes. Is it 30 years? No, because I think those teams in the 90s are better than these teams. But I get what you're saying. I think you got to give a really big shout out to Julius Randle. Yeah. Like, I know for a long time, like I was a Julius Randle fan, but then for a minute, I just didn't like his game. But like, you see, he's an old school hooper, but bro is really like the heart and soul of that Knicks team. And then Jalen Brunson, you talk about Mark Cuban giving up too much. Why wouldn't you just give him the money, bro?
Bro,
what the fuck was he thinking? Like,
he's been playing better than Kyrie this year.
My boy, get your ass off Shark Tank and like start really looking at what's going on. Cause like, it's no way, no fucking way you had that in house and you let him walk to risk, you know, Kyrie not coming back. Kyrie, let's just
Jalen Brunson beat the Jazz by himself in the playoffs last year, bro, when Luka was hurt.
And you saw that and said, you know, I'm not going to pay you, bro. We're going to let you go. Godspeed, nigga. Figure it out.
We're going to run with Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yeah. But no, the Knicks are legit. RJ Barrett, like you said, Mitchell Robinson holding down on the defensive end. Like you said, you know it's a Tibbs team that they're going to play deep, but also Tibbs is adjusted to the modern game more.
Yes.
He took him a long time. And one of our major complaints as Bulls fans, it was like, Tibbs don't adjust. Tibbs going to play his game, and it is what it is. Like, Tibbs was like them old nigga. What's my buddy see him? Remember the tights? It's like Novocaine. Just give it time. It's gonna work. Like, that was Tom Thibodeau. But now you see him make the adjustments, and the Knicks are good. G, I think they could make a run in the playoffs. I ain't picking them to come out the East, but
no, of course not. But
they could definitely make a run, especially because, like, you know, you said they 3-1 against Boston. That's one of them Tibbs stats that we know usually is some bullshit. We used to smack teams in the regular season.
We used to beat the Heat ass in the playoffs.
Beat like a drum.
They can't beat like the Bostons or the Milwaukees because they have the superstars, you know what I'm saying? But they can beat a Philly. Like, I know they got Embiid, but we know how Harden get down, and most importantly, we know how Mr. Glenn Doc Rivers gets down. That's the most important thing right there, that I feel like they can beat them. And Cleveland, as good as they are, they remind me a lot of the first half Bulls last year. Was a lot of 2-on-5 going on there, where Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland playing hot potato. Now,
yep.
here's the other side of this where it could go wrong for the Knicks. Because 9 times out of 10, they're going to be playing Cleveland. It's just a matter of who has home court. Donovan Mitchell in the Garden. That just sounds like some classic Knicks. He just got in our ass all serious shit. So that's like the other counter to this, where you could just see Donovan doing. I mean, Trae Young did it 2 years ago, where the Knicks had a better team than the Hawks, but it didn't matter because they had that one guy who was just getting in their ass. And Donovan Mitchell can do that. But from a team perspective, and I got to give love to Emmanuel Quickley. He won that game for them last night. And I actually didn't have a problem with that Julius Randle shot in. After that shot he made Miami, I think he had a little bit more room to do that. Yeah. But I'm liking what they're seeing, man. I might have to pull up to the Garden in April, man. I've been trying to get out there. I'm going to pull up and see what's going on for one of the playoff games.
Yeah. No, definitely, bro. Like you said, this is one of the few cliches I feel like are actually accurate. But, like, basketball is better when the Knicks are good. Like, it just is. It's just the way it works.
Yeah, certain teams yeah. it just means yeah. that when you have that loud Garden crowd – You know what I'm saying? It's going to be something that's going to be exciting, man. But on the other side of it, we're talking about the team they just beat, the Boston Celtics. Not a good week for them. Not a good week for them. They've pretty much been number one in the Eastern Conference all season. They finally choked it up to the Milwaukee Bucks. Even though they just got their 16-game win streak snapped, they bounced back, got a win against Washington. A very shameless triple-double by Giannis, which got taken back. But the NBA was like, no. We're not doing this. But the Bucks are now a game and a half up. But the Celtics did not look good this week. They blew a 28-point lead over the Brooklyn Nets this week. Mikal Bridges is like he got traded and started playing like the nigga he got traded for. Like Mikal Bridges has been incredible, and he's playing like exactly why one of the Bulls to draft him when he was available. That dude is great. He's a perfect 3-and-D guy. And then this loss – to the fucking Knicks last night. There was a lot of questionable decisions by Joe Mazzulla the last couple games, and that's kind of a concern I had last week. Do you think the Celtics are in legitimate trouble right now, or are they just going through long season lows that come?
Yeah, that's all it is. I think come playoff time, when you have the time to really just strategize and adjust and do things like that, they'll be just fine. So, like, I understand, like, what people are seeing, especially, like, bro don't like to call timeouts, if you ever notice. He's not a fan of that. But no, I think as they continue to go and you know, grow together and try to really finally knock this shit off, I think you'll see him get better come playoff time.
He's on his Phil Jackson, Greg Popovich shit. Only difference is they have the rings to pull that shit off.
Yeah, they're the rings and the players. Like let's
that too, right. My thing with this is like my issue's been with the Celtics all year. Do I think that they are in trouble? No, they're not in trouble. They're going to be fine. At worst, they'll be the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference, and they still have a better record than Denver. So if they did get to the finals, let's say they played Denver, Game 7 would be in Boston. So I don't think there's a problem for them being in trouble, but there still are concerning signs that I think can bite them in the ass come playoff time. I will stand on my Jason Tatum needs to play better sandbox. I don't give a fuck what you highlight watching niggas say to me. Watch the games. There are some questionable traits from this man. We shouldn't be having Jaylen Brown having to say, fuck it, I got to do this shit again every time. Even the reason that game went to overtime last night was because Jaylen Brown stepped up. And my other concern, Robert Williams. When's he going to stay on the fucking court? He just can't consistently get on the court. We know defensively that whole team has changed when he's on the court. They're going to need that. And just also what we just said about Joe Mazzulla. When it comes to these matchups, when you get closer and further to the playoffs, coaches' mistakes can't bite you in the ass. Now, Ime made the right calls last year, pressed the right buttons to get the team to where they're going to get. They had 2 Game 7s last year. I think a lot of people forget that. 2 Game 7s, and you need good coaching to win that. One of those Game 7s was on the road. So that's something I feel like has got to be fixed, but I wouldn't say they're in trouble. It's just they need to tie some shit up before the playoffs start. The team that passed them up, the Milwaukee Bucks. I feel like, everybody we talked about last week on the show, MVP, Jokic, Embiid. It's something I think we need to go back to. Are we underestimating Giannis Antetokounmpo's MVP chances? Because I'm going to name out some numbers for y'all. The Bucks have the number one record in basketball. game and a half lead up on the Celtics. They had just went on a 16-game win streak. And for the season, this man, Giannis, is averaging 31.2 points per game, shooting 53% from the field, averaging 11 rebounds, 5 assists, and basically still in a block a game. Do you feel like that this is a legitimate three-man MVP race, or is just we are fully at LeBron James, Michael Jordan, exhaustion when it comes to Giannis and MVPs?
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far, but I do think the Joker's going to get it. Like, averaging a triple-double from the center spot, they're going to give it to him for that. But I think Giannis is also in one of those positions where we've seen a lot of our, legendary players get, where it's like, it's not – you really, really can't win for losing. Like, it's like, no matter what you do, it's not going to be enough for him to get that award. So, like, I don't think we're underestimating it. I think we just know how the game goes. Like, we just know how this shit works.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do think Joker's going to win it. But I think that if they finish with the number one record in basketball, I think it might be a conversation. Because this is where we get into the thing where you can say the same thing about Jokic. Jokic has the same amount of MVPs as Giannis does. But like you just said, as fans, as viewers, as media, we get bored with excellence. I really think that's what it is. Like, oh, you're supposed to do that, Giannis. Like, yeah. Like, it shouldn't be normal when a guy scores 35 and 15 with, like, five blocks. That's not normal shit. But he didn't elevate it so much in his career that we like, oh, that's cool. It's like when Mike will score 25 points. So anybody else, oh, yeah, pretty good game. You're like, oh, yeah, Mike was all right tonight. So I think it's coming to that type of situation. But I do feel if he finishes with the best record in basketball, it might be more of a conversation. But I do think it's going to go to Joker. And speaking of Joker, I feel like the Denver Nuggets are becoming the most disrespected number one seed since the 2014-15 Atlanta Hawks. Mm-hmm. Now, there was a legit reason to disrespect that team. I don't think there was anybody scared of who the four all-stars they had on that team. It was
Al Horford, Kyle Korver, Jeff Teague, and wasn't it Joe Johnson?
Paul Millsap, wasn't it?
Paul Millsap. And them niggas got their ass beat like a drum.
That's what pissed me off so much about that season? If the fucking ref would have just called a goddamn technical on David Black in game fucking four of that series against the Cavaliers, and we'd have won that series. We went to the finals. The Bulls would have went to the finals. They'd have smacked shit out the Hawks.
Listen to me, Chicago.
There's no doubt in my mind. They'd have smacked shit out the Hawks.
We got to let it go.
I refuse. I refuse.
All the what ifs. If fucking, if Chris Conte didn't fall down ass, like, no. We got to leave all that shit in the past. That's just Chicago. That's Chicago for you. Because every time we lose, it's some silly ass goofball shit like that. Let it go, brother.
It's hard. You know why it's hard? Because I've had
that nigga ran across the court. Like, it was it should have easily been a technical foul, but because it was Chicago, they were like, no.
We can't have these niggas in the Eastern Conference Final.
The Bulls and LeBron went home. Hell no.
No, we're not doing that. I mean, to me, it's just like the reason why it's hard for me to go over, because as a Bulls fan, we've had 2 months of joy since that series. The 2 months from early last year, it's been all hell.
I was about to say, what are 2 months? Okay.
Beginning, before Lonzo got hurt, the two fun months at the beginning of the 2021-2022 season.
This nigga, man.
I don't think Lonzo's ever playing again. I hate to say it, but it's something with them bones, man, because his brother knees been kind of shaky too. But faith level in the Denver Nuggets, man, are you – and the funny thing about the Nuggets, I don't 100% know why people don't trust them, because it's not like they've had their full squad every year.
Yeah.
They haven't had their full squad since the bubbles. I don't really understand I got to see it for them niggas.
No, it's a battle-tested team, bro. And like we said, before the bubble, every playoff series they went 7 games. Like, that was like the thing about Joker and Murray. Like, they have been doing that. They had those, those things that we want to see teams go through before they reach the top of the top. So I think when you got, like I said, the best player in the league giving you a triple-double out the center spot, and, Jamal Murray still isn't, like, all the way Jamal Murray, you feel me? So,
how I feel about that guy.
Yeah, that's one of the few that you got. They got two on their team that you don't like, because you don't like Hotback either.
I have a problem with Hotback. I just got a problem with Bulls fans acting like that'll change anything if we draft them.
Yeah, but I think the thing with that is, like, as Bulls fans, we need to just start rolling the dice on like all the, you know, experimental talent.
Bro,
like,
the man couldn't walk up the damn draft stairs, and with the Bears medical staff, with the Bulls medical staff, what you thought that was gonna be?
Like, prime example, one nigga I want the Bulls to try to draft, Imani Bates.
Yeah,
I don't care. I don't give a fuck. Way fall draft.
We could have had Tyrese Halliburton. Saw that went yesterday, but
boy. But y'all wanted the florist.
Hey, hold on. Time out. No, I didn't want shit.
Man. You? No. Y'all told me. I was told by Bulls fans this man was fucking Kawhi Leonard.
No, I did
Kawhi
not say
Kawhi Leonard with a straight face. And then I sit here every day on Twitter and watch you niggas. If he just gets a little more aggressive, if he just takes 12 to 16 shots, to get the fuck out of here. Stop. Like, no, we made a mistake. It was the wrong pick. Look, it was the wrong person.
I'm not disagreeing with you. There's a couple things. One, I didn't say draft this nigga. On draft night, I was not saying, yo, we need to go get Patrick Williams. All I said was we got to get this nigga a shot.
The man didn't even start in college. And we said, you know what? Fuck it. I see something that y'all don't see.
But that's also because we was drinking the AKME Kool-Aid.
Boy, they fooled us so quick. That's why they fooled us. That's Chicago, boy. Yeah. I remember I thought Phil Emery was it. I thought he was the one.
And that's why I try to put too much dip on my shit when it comes to talking about Ryan Poles.
Yeah.
Like, I still like, okay, he's playing tonight, but you got to finish the job before I do that. Because really, AKME is just guard packs with better PR. That's really all it is.
Once you realize the owner hasn't changed, so at the end of the day, certain things are just not going to happen. It is what it is.
Yeah, man. But my faith level in the Nuggets, man, I think they have a legitimate shot. Now, I think the pressure is on them. I think they have – I won't say they have the most pressure. I think Boston has the most pressure because when you go to the NBA Finals and you lose and you play as bad as Jason Tatum played, I think you automatically have the most pressure. Like, you know, he was god-awful. 100 turnovers. He set an NBA record. And I think it was a mix of not just – Andrew Wiggins locking him up, but he just was just bad. Like, it was just a mix of that. So I think they have the most pressure, but Denver's right up there. Denver's number two with the most pressure. And I do want to see, I feel like this is the deepest team in the Western Conference. They have Jokic, the MVP. They have a great coach. They're going to have home court advantage. You know, the path to the NBA Finals will come through Ball Arena or Pepsi Center, as I still like to call it. So they have to prove it. But I would say I'm not one of the teams who just off them. I'm not one of the people who's off them. I think they have a legitimate shot to win it all. But this has got to be one of the things where they can't play with their food. When the first round comes, they need to smack whoever it is real quickly.
Yeah. No, I think they know that. I think Joker, like I said, he's legit. Like, he's next level. He's elite. So bringing his team, like I said, you know, people were complaining about the I want to say it was the first MVP one. They were like the 6 seed, whatever. Well, now they're the 1 seed. So we're going to see what's up. But I agree, though. I think they definitely have a true legitimate shot to come out the West.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown. I know Stephen A. Smith doesn't want to see Milwaukee Bucks, Denver Nuggets final because he wants to go in L.A. and Miami. But listen here, Stephen A. Ain't going to be no finals basketball being played on Biscayne Boulevard or on fucking Figueroa. I can tell you that right now.
I'm going to say grab your snowboard, nigga, because you're going to be in the mountains.
Right? Yeah. And speaking of a team that plays on Fig, the team I cover, the Los Angeles Clippers, a very shameless bunch. They finally won last night, snapping a 5-game losing streak. A lot of these 5 games they lost were very – all of them were dramatic. You know, the double overtime loss to the Kings, the overtime loss to the Nuggets, that – fucking lost to who they play? Oh, to the Timberwolves. I was at that game when Ant and Gobert was breaking them off, you know. And then they lost the second game to the Kings. And they was like, oh, we're gonna sit Kawhi, which don't make any fucking sense to me because not only is Kawhi been hooping, Kawhi's been playing 37 minutes a game. So obviously the nigga's fine. Like, with your season on the line, why is he taking that time out? You know what I'm saying? I just didn't understand that, and so. That game went down to the wire. Russell Westbrook, I believe, played a good game. Paul George played a good game. And then Paul George missed the game winner against Sacramento. And then you had the shit last night when they were getting their ass beat. They gave up 51 points in the third quarter to a Memphis Grizzly team that did not have Tupac Morant, Dylan Brooks, and Steven Adams. And then they had to go on like a 17-0 run just to win the fucking game. They had to go like 75 points combined between Kawhi and Paul George. My thing is this about the Clippers, man. I still think that Paul George and Kawhi is a good duo. I don't think they're going anywhere, especially because they got that new building in Inglewood finna open up, and they're going to need stars to bring people all the way out to Inglewood. So I don't think they're going anywhere. But Ty Lue, I like Ty Lue. I think he's a really good coach. This ain't his best coaching job. Some of these rotations don't make any sense to me. Russell Westbrook does not need to be in the game in the fourth quarter. Paul George bailed that nigga out multiple times last night in the fourth. Eric Gordon, the remains of Eric Gordon, man, do not need to be on the court in the fourth quarter. T-Man, Terrence Mann, has been playing great. Play that kid at the end of the games. Keep it simple. And also, I need more from Paul George, bro. Like, Paul George needs to be more consistent. He already went on JJ podcast, said that shameless shit about, I'm not the best player on the championship team. Even if you feel that way, don't fucking admit it. You know what I'm saying? Like, what kind of shit is that? So, they are looking right now in the eyes of a play-in game. And if the playoffs started to the play-in start today, that play-in game would be on the road in Dallas against a nigga that hates them in Luka Doncic. And then what then after that, if they lost that, and let's just say the Lakers get in, Lakers when they play again, this will be the playing game for the century. Lakers and Clippers playing game. And you think I'm picking against LeBron in a game like that? Fuck no. So just for my personal resume, I want to cover an NBA series and they fucking that NBA playoff series and they fucking it up for me, man. So I need them to get their shit together.
I mean, yeah, they are definitely what 1-5 since they added everybody's favorite Crip. But and then like Ty Lue has been forcing him into the lineups, even though it's been certain games, like you said, he has played well, but then like you'll see him play like 25 minutes, and like you said, Eric Gordon is dragging his body up and down the court, and it's like, Ty Lue, what the fuck is going on? You know, I don't like, you know, T-Man had played well for them, you know, and really was carving out his role with that squad, and then you just snatched that from him.
Moved him out the rotation.
And moved him out the rotation. I think that was kind of weak, but I think, you know, like you said, it's its point with the Clippers where it's like, you know you're going to have the 1-2, but when do they start reshuffling? When does Ballmer's patience run out? And it's like, all right, this shit clearly not working. Let me go this way with it. And I think he's a madman. He's a madman.
He was not happy Tuesday. I saw him in the hallway, and I was like, 25 turnover. He just shook his head at me. I was like, this nigga's not happy.
I'm surprised he's like, who the fuck are, like, you know, like he looked like one of those type.
No,
like
Boma cool, man. Boma cool.
No, absolutely. I'm talking about after a loss, like just on some angry shit. Like,
he just be zoned out, dog. Like he don't be faking when he on the sideline. He be in it, bro. Like I see Boma before shoot around. That's him. He be kicking it.
Bro, that man was so, before he bought the Clippers, that man was so ready to own a team. They said he, like, pretty much adopted his son's high school team and, like, built them a new gym and all that type of just rich person shit. But, no, he's dope. But, like I said, when does Ballmer's patience run out? When does he say, all right, it's time to start reshuffling? Like, Ty, we gave it a try. You out of here. Same thing he did with Doc. Like, he tried with Doc.
Yep.
They had Lob City. They didn't win shit. So, it's like.
And then they blew that 3-1 lead in the bubble. And it was a wrap. And, you know, there is. I keep saying, Ime Udoka out there, man. He out there. And if Ty keep this shit up, I might be covering Udoka next season. So, you know, that's the thing that's going to be interesting for me, man. But to wrap this episode up, we're going to talk about the defending NBA champion, Golden State Warriors. The Warriors have won 5 out of their last 6 games. Stephen Curry returned on Sunday after being out for the last couple weeks. Didn't play that much. He had about 23 points. They lost to the Lakers, but they have moved up from the 9th seed up to the 5th seed in the Western Conference. They are only 2 games behind Phoenix for the 4th seed. They're 34-31. They've done all this without Draymond Green, without Steph Curry, and without Andrew Wiggins, who is still away from the team due to personal issues. They have a great home record. I'm looking at it right now. They're 27-7 at the crib, but they have a 7-24 record on the road, which is even worse than the fucking Houston Rockets. Terrible. But my question for you, man, and I think this has been the debate on Twitter the last couple weeks. Despite their record, do you still think they got a legit shot to come out the West?
As long as Steph Curry's body stays together, yes. I think so. If their team can get healthy and get, you know, get Steph, get Wiggins back. Well, Steph is back, but get them back and rolling and you know, going in their groove, I think they definitely can. But it's just a matter of getting in there.
Yeah.
So, but I think, you know, that's a team, like you said, nobody wants to play the Warriors. Like, I don't care what the current record is. Nobody wants to know, oh, shit, we got a game prep, you know, game plan and prep for Steph, Clay, you know, the whole game today. Jordan Poole, when Jordan Poole not acting like an idiot, like he's like when he's on, they're damn near.
Kuminga hooping.
Man.
Kuminga hooping. Clay took a year, but Clay is finally looking like Clay.
But we knew that though. We knew that was gonna happen.
Yeah, of course. But it was like there was some rough moments. We were like,
oh yeah. Clay. Y'all was calling that man wash. Y'all was calling that man wash.
Yeah, Clay had some moments in the finals, but he wasn't Clay. Like Clay is back to Clay. The confidence is there. You know what I'm saying? He's talking a little bit more. And I really feel like they're looking at this as their last dance because Draymond's not gonna be on the team next year. And Draymond pretty much said on his podcast he's not even expecting to be on the team next year.
He'll be a Laker.
If you're the Lakers, why? Why would you want to do that? Like, I wouldn't add Draymond on my fucking team. Because Draymond wants to get paid. Let's be very clear. Draymond wants to get paid.
I don't know who
Draymond wants to get cashed out. And if I'm the Lakers,
Who the fuck is cashing out?
Look, man, there's a certain degenerate gambler who led our basketball team to 6 NBA championships who is sitting in Charlotte right now who will pay that man. You know who else I can see him paying him? I can see Mark Cuban paying Draymond.
That'd be so nasty.
I mean,
because he probably want a true enforcer for Luka, so I could see that.
I can see that, you know what I'm saying? And Mark Cuban go all the way in, like, I'm going to pay Kyrie and Draymond, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't be shocked if he go to Phoenix. I think there's going to be some suitors
for
Draymond, you know what I'm saying? Now, how many years Draymond got at a high level is a different conversation. I think on whatever the back end of that contract is going to be, it's going to be nasty. But to answer the question, yes, I think they are a contender. It doesn't matter what their record is. It's a team that has won a championship. Even the young guns have won championships now. So the Jordan Pools know what it takes. The Kamingas know what it takes.
Exactly.
Getting GP2 back, and from everything we've heard, he's going to be ready to go for the regular season ends. That's huge. And I don't give a fuck about their road record. I don't give a shit about their record. They are the defending champions. They will find a way. Now, I will say this about them, and I'll wrap this up. I treat them the same way I treat the Lakers. If they are in a play-in game, they can lose. They can tweak enough to lose a play-in game. Just like I feel like the Lakers can tweak enough to lose a play-in game. But if they get in a 7-game series, let's just say they at if they're at the fourth seed, right, and let's say they play Phoenix, I can see them beating Phoenix. No, them niggas not scared of Phoenix. And if they say they drop to 6, they can beat Sacramento. They can beat Memphis even if Tupac Moran was on the damn team right now. So there's a whole different thing right there where I feel like nobody wants to see them. And I'm not saying I would pick them in a series against Denver. I'm not saying that. But it wouldn't shock me if we sitting here in 3 months and, you know, we getting ready for game 3 and it's at in the fucking Bay. It, nothing would shock me about that whatsoever. So that's something that's going to be entertaining to watch over the next couple weeks. I just hope Steph stays healthy, man. Just need him to stay healthy so he can stop wearing that damn armband he got on his shoulder. He's looking crazy.
Man. No, but yeah, like you said, bro, we talking about at the end of the day, this is the team that, you know, is one of our modern day dynasties. Like, I know that, you know, we have the 3-peat rule for our dynasties, but when you really look at the dominance and what they've been able to accomplish,
I give them a dynasty. Three out of five, and they won a back. They had a back to back. I give them dynasty.
Yeah, you can't deny that. You can't deny that. So, like I said, but a team like that, even though you have the pieces that have been shuffled around with the core that's still there, if they get in there, they can make some noise. They can definitely do it.
Definitely, man. That's all we got for y'all this week, man. We will be back next week. We are in the stretch run. I think we're about next week. In a couple days, we'll be a month away from the start of the play-in. Play-in starts on April 10th, so we are very close to the end of this thing. And seeds 4 through 13 in the West are, like, separated by, like, 3 games. And these teams play each other multiple times. So I feel like the next month is going to kind of be like a mini March Madness, so kind of like the end of the NFL season where everybody is fighting for positioning, man. And I keep saying, watch out for Sacramento. I would not be shocked if Sacramento takes that number 2 seed from Memphis with no job. So that's going to be interesting right there, too.
Yeah, definitely, bro. No, I'm excited.
It took them forever. It took 60 some games for us to get games that mean shit. But
It took a while. It took a while for us to get to this point, but we've actually been getting a lot of quality basketball lately.
Exactly. Exactly. I actually watched basketball for 12 hours on Sunday, so I ain't did that all year. So yeah,
and it was like you said, it was game after game. Like, okay.
Good games.
Definitely,
man. So that's all we got for y'all this week. You know, to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershare Scott, at October Zone Tay. Follow the Barbershare Network at Barbershare Net. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. New episode of Summer Sessions dropping this week. There'll be a new episode of Cinema with the Guys dropping this week. You'll be hearing about us talk about, we're actually about to record this right now. We're going to complain about that new BMF episode. Check that out. We will be breaking down Succession, the final season. I am almost done with my rewatch. It's getting ready for the next couple weeks, so look out for that. New episode of I'm Not Gonna Hold You. I'm expecting some Lamar Jackson news to talk about on the show this week, because as you'll be listening to this, today is the franchise tag deadline. So we gonna get to the nitty gritty of what's gonna go on with that situation, man. So we'll holler at y'all next week, man. We out.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.